Hey, what's going on? It's Bill Burr, and it's the Monday Morning Podcast for Monday, September 12th, 2011. How the hell are you? What's going on? Yeah, well, that's good. I'm in Columbus, Ohio, everybody, and I am going to do one more show out here before my wonderful weekend here at the mall here in Columbus is over. I don't know if you guys have ever been to the mall out here in Columbus. Oh, is it? It's, I mean, if you're in Ohio, I don't know what you're waiting for. You got to come out here to the Columbus Mall. You're not going to believe what they have out here, everybody. They have a Gap. They got a Cheesecake Factory. Huh? They got everything you have where you're at. This is a real weird mall, by the way. You know, they got this whole section where they got a bunch of fountains that shoot water up in the air, right, like a porno load. And for some reason, people bring their children, like babies, toddlers, to run through the water. It's like a fucking pedophile wet T-shirt contest, whatever the fuck you're trying to say there, Bill. I don't know. It's one of the most uncomfortable things I've ever seen in my life. I don't even have kids, and it makes me uncomfortable. You know? I deliberately fucking walk all, like, it's the quickest route to me getting to the club is to walk basically right through that area where the water fountain is. I went there the first day. Every time I come here, I forget that that's there. And then I have to go around the other side. All right? That looks like a fucking FBI sting operation. Like they're trying to catch every fucking pedophile from here to Toronto. I don't understand why they have it. I don't understand in this day and age why you would have a toddler and you would let it run through water. Giggling with its little Choo Choo Charlie fucking T-shirt on. What are you doing? You know? Reminding me of when the crocodile hunter took his baby out and started making it do a little jig in front of that alligator. It's like, what the as a parent, what are you doing? Let's just forget about pedophiles and sexual predators and all those pieces of shit. What about the fact your kid could just catch a cold? You know? The fuck is wrong with parents? Remember that as a kid when you walked to the car and you jumped in a puddle? Then your mother ripped the fucking antenna off the car and beat your ass with it? Threw you in the back, no car seat, no nothing. Threw another couple in the hatchback that pressed up against the fucking window. You remember that? Old school parenting. Now what? Oh, the kid's just expressing himself. He loves it. He loves to run through the water. Fucking lady, put him in the backyard if you want to do that shit, okay? Don't fucking bring the kid out here in public like this is some Meekum at a fucking auction, you know, for fucking pedophiles.
Coming up next, up for bid, we have a 2009...
3-year-old, the 2-year-old, sorry, fucked up the math. Fuck, I don't know what I'm talking about here. I've been having a great shows out here, everybody, and but I have been having, I had a brutal flight. All right, I flew out of LAX, Los Angeles International Airport. That for some reason, if you go beyond Colorado, you just can't get a fucking direct flight anywhere. I don't get it. When I was in New York City, I could fly to all these places directly. Maybe it's because I was in New York and it was only an hour and a half away. I don't fucking know. It just doesn't seem like he can fly anyway. So anyways, I got to fly LA to Phoenix, Phoenix to Columbus. All right? On US Air. So I get on the plane and there's two empty seats next to me. And it's getting close to the point where they're going to close the door to the plane. And I'm excited, like, holy shit, I'm going to have this whole fucking row to myself. This will be nice. I can stretch out a little bit, take my carry-on, stick it under the other chair. This is going to be great. Right before they close the door, lo and behold, this fat tub of shit gets on the fucking plane. All right? And I'm thinking, oh, God, not me. Please, for the love of God, don't pick my row. You know when you do that shit, you're just fucking willing the guy to sit down as he waddles his fat ass down the fucking aisle. It's him and his fucking lady, right? So he fucking comes all the way up, comes to my row, and he's just standing there. And I'm hoping he's just standing there because he's putting his stuff in the overhead compartment. I can literally feel the fucking heat radiating off of his body from the 22 years of mistakes that he's put in his goddamn stomach. All right? And what does he do?
I'm in that row. I'm in your row,
so I got to get up. And what does he do? He lets his fucking girl sit by the window, and then he sits in the middle seat. And this fat fucking tub of fucking shit. This dude was so fat, I was sitting behind his back fat. You know what I mean? He was like fat and round. It was like sitting next to a planet with a head. You know, it was like you could the roundness of this guy. Okay, so he's trying to be less fat. God bless him. So he crosses his arms when all it does is just cause his fat lat to fucking bulge out even more into my airspace that I fucking paid for. And it's not real. All I'm thinking is, why the fuck didn't he take the window seat and then post up against his girlfriend? My shoulder was getting hot from his arm. He was on me. This fucking guy was on me. If I was claustrophobic, they would have had to turn the plane around. This is how much this guy was in my chair. And I'm thinking, why the hell, why didn't you just take the fucking window seat, you fat fuck? Have a little bit of fucking consideration, you tub of shit. You know, with your basketball shorts, like you actually never played a goddamn day in your life. His fucking legs spread out like he was going to give birth to a baby calf. You know? Why don't you sit near the window? You know what I realized after a while? He didn't sit near the window because he's so fucking fat, he can't. He can't. If he sat by the window, his other fat lat would have blown out the window. We all would have got sucked out. Unless his tub of shit body fucking somehow got stuck in the fuselage, which if you saw him, wouldn't be beyond you, a possibility. Unfucking believable. And he's sitting there. This is what kills me. He's sitting there and he's biting his nails. And I just want to be like, dude, do you ever stop eating? Is there a moment? And you're literally consuming yourself right now. I know what you guys are thinking. Well, hey, Bill, why don't you fly first class? Oh, yeah? Well, hey, why don't you go fuck yourself, hypothetical person who said that? Okay, I understand I bought a coach seat. I know what that means. That means my fucking knees are going to be in my chest. That means if I'm even slightly leaned forward and the guy in front of me reclines, he's going to hit me in the head. I understand that. Okay? I get it. But that doesn't mean that this tub of shit, I shouldn't have to pay an extra couple of fucking grand or whatever, $1,500 so somebody else's lard isn't in my lap. I am full on 100% behind you having to buy two seats when you're on an airplane, okay? I'm sorry you're fat, okay? But you made your choices. This is one of the things. This is a good thing. You got to buy two seats. You got less money for cookies. Maybe that'll be a goal. Maybe that'll be your bottoming out. But it's absolutely ridiculous that I have to say, I'm literally leaning out into the fucking aisle. My giant microwave oven head is out there, and then I got to deal with the stewardess going, excuse me, sir, can you not share in this airplane, sir? Right? I got to watch if I can't start yelling here. I'm in a hotel room again. I already got one strike against me. They probably build a fucking file on me. Yeah, I'm leaning out there. This is the best part. The food cart comes. Okay? They ask me what do I... You know, they ask the dude what he wants to drink. He goes, can I have a Coke? Can I have a Coke? I just want to be like, dude, how about a water? How about a salad? Are you trying to make yourself even fatter during the flight? Do you know what that soda is going to do to your already distended fucking belly? You already can't even put the fucking tray down. This dude couldn't put the tray down. He tried. He tried to put the tray down. Oh, my God, this fucking guy. I swear to God. The thoughts I was thinking, it was embarrassing. I was sitting there thinking, like, you know, I'm so glad this dude's going to die young. Can you believe that? I'm not happy in real life that that's going to happen. But that's how fucking uncomfortable I was, and that's how fucking mad I was at this guy. Absolutely. You got to buy two seats, people. You got to do it. I love when they try to leave the fucking arm up, too. I don't play that. I fucking shave that ham right down. I bring the fucking thing right the fuck down. Fucking sit here making me uncomfortable, and you want to relax? If I could, I'd put my foot in your chest and make your belt even tighter. That's what I do to you. Cut off your circulation to your legs. Maybe you'd get up and take a walk. There's no excuse for it. You know, and I know this is probably coming off insensitive, but you know something? I've been a redhead my whole life. Nobody gives a shit. We're not considered handicapped. Capped. We're not considered handicapped. This always happens when I scream all weekend. We're not considered handicapped. We don't get our own parking spaces. These tubs of shit, they're getting their own parking spaces now. Making a shorter walk to the store, making them even fatter. The only positive thing I can say about this guy was he only went to Phoenix, and he didn't smell. I got to give him that. He didn't smell. I don't know if he fucking jumped in a goddamn pond, you know, killed 200 fish before he got onto the flight. I don't know what he did, but he didn't smell. But I swear to God, you know what kills me is I ranted about this on the radio here in Columbus, and somebody called up the radio station, said, I'm 5'8", 300 pounds, and I love to fly. I'm never listening to this radio station again. Can you believe that? This dude actually felt like he was the victim. You know, that'd be like if some wife who got the shit kicked out of her ranted about her piece of shit husband for slapping the shit out of her, and then some guy calls up, hey, I got issues with women, and I slapped the shit out of my wife, and I'm never listening to this radio station again. You know? Give me a fucking break. You know what you need to do. Eat a salad. Go for a walk. You don't have to put money down for the gym. Just go for a walk. It's actually easier to do cardio when you're not at the gym. Because when you're at the gym, at any point, you can just get off and walk 100 yards to your car. Your car is always 100 yards away. When you walk out your front door and you walk a mile away, what, are you going to just quit and lay down on the ground? You got to walk back. There's 2 miles. Easiest 2 miles you'll ever fucking do. Or be a tub of shit. Be fat. That's your right, okay? But buy two seats. That's all I'm going to say. All right? Do I wear short shorts, showing off my milk white legs, offending everybody's eyeballs? No, I don't. I'm considerate. I wear the Jordan ones. They come down right over my little white knees. You're listening to the Monday Morning Podcast, and yes, it is insensitive. Doesn't mean it's wrong. I'm right. I'm right on this one. Hey, fatties who listen to this podcast, God bless you. Have yourself a Sunday on a Monday, right? I understand it. You're emotional eaters. Something fucking bad happened to you. So food is your friend. And then you go in there. I get it. I want you to lose weight. I want you to feel good about yourself. But until you're at that weight where you're not, you know, spilling into my seat, you got to buy two seats. I shouldn't have to suffer because you ate all the cookies in the house. That's not my fucking fault. Oh, Jesus, Bill, we got it. I actually tweeted this week that fat people are the new secondhand smoke. Hey, you want to be fat? Go outside. Oh, fuck. Serena's yelling at the linesman. She's pissed because she's losing. She's losing to this little skinny fucking white girl from Australia, maybe. Stoser. It's 6-2, and she just lost the first game. If she wins this thing, the U.S. Open, you guys already know this shit by now. Good, she's mad. Now she's going to start fucking winning. She's going to break her serve right here. You ever notice Serena's dad looks like Garrett Morris from fucking SNL? I don't like how fucking Venus Williams always sits there pouting whenever Serena's in the fucking finals. Like, oh, I wish it was me. Don't you be happy for your sister? So fucking grumpy. You know what I mean? Anybody out there dating, you want more of a Serena personality. She seems like she's... I guess the younger kid's always more happy-go-lucky. You don't have the pressure. Anyways, let's plow ahead. So, yeah, so I'm sitting here in a hotel in Columbus, Ohio, you know, trying to keep my voice down, which I guess I haven't. Somebody probably calling downstairs right now. I'm in the VIP room next door, and I'm fat. I should not have to listen to this, okay? You know what's funny about Ohio? Even the gay guys are fat. It's unreal. I don't know what they eat out here, but you know. Gay dudes always either shredded or they're just way thin. And this guy, it was fucking hilarious. This Billy Baldwin torso. Yeah, it was one of these deals after the show. You know, hanging there, drinking my fucking cranberry juice and soda. Everybody trying to convince me that I should be drinking. I actually have been on the road so long that I actually have drinking buddies in each town. Not really the people I even know their fucking names. Just people who I drank with the last time. And they're just like, do you remember last time we went over to Uncle Fucky's and we... No, I have no recollection. They're always hurt. It's like, do you understand that I only met you once in my life? And what I did, I drank 12 Jamesons and a six-pack of beer. I have no recollection of you or that night. You know, the old me would be like, and let's do it again. But this time I didn't. And it was just, and I don't know, it was fucking, oh, you know what? There was this fucking guy who came out to the show, right? He did something. You ever have somebody do something really fucking annoying and you blow it in the moment? It's not until, Serena's starting to pump the fist. Here we go. She's going to come back now. 1-1 in the second set. Why aren't you watching NFL football? Because I'm in Columbus, Ohio, people. That's why. My selections of games of Cleveland versus Cincinnati. I watched the Falcons get the shit kicked out of them by the Bears. You know something? I think things are looking good for the Jets this year. I think the Patriots, we added two unbelievable head cases to our team. We got rid of one last year, and then we added two. I don't think that that's going to be a good move. You know? Plus, I don't know about our defense. Fucking Peyton Manning tweaked his neck or whatever, so that poor bastard's out for God knows how long. That takes them off the table. So, I mean, I guess the Steelers are always in it, but they got the living shit kicked out of them by the Ravens. So, I think the Jets, they got the best chance that they've had through all of this shit talking that their coach has done. This is their best year. And he has been eerily quiet. Eerily quiet, which I think is the best fucking move that guy could make. Just shut your face, come into town, kick their ass, and then leave. That's all you do. Tippy toe. Hey, everybody, how are you? Bam! Smash him in the face. What the fuck happened? 24/7. See ya. Then you're done. On to the next one. So anyways, what the fuck was I talking about? Yeah, so I'm doing yet another podcast here in a hotel room, trying to keep my voice down. Remember last time, a couple weeks ago, I got in trouble with the security during the rainstorm out there? You know how many people gave me shit for calling that hurricane a rainstorm? I wasn't impressed with it, the amount of people that fucking sent me emails going, you know, I'm actually in Vermont, and I haven't had electricity. I don't give a fuck. You live in Vermont. Be happy you're not in a log cabin. Spiking trees trying to fucking suck some syrup out of it. Okay? Why I don't know how many times I have to tell people not to take this goddamn podcast seriously and not to be shocked that it's ignorant. It can't help being ignorant. I'm hosting it. Okay? Speaking of ignorant, did you see those guys who fucked up during the hurricane? There's always somebody's got to do something stupid. Go surfing. Right? Or that idiot out there on the West Coast after the tsunami hit Japan. They said that another wave was obviously coming our way. And this guy stands on a rock right next to the ocean to take a picture of the aftermath of a fucking tsunami. you know? And the wave comes, fucking smashes him off the rock, sucks him into the ocean, and his camera drags him under. See you later, stupid. I just can't imagine what goes through your head when you die like that. Like, oh my God, I'm that guy. I'm that guy who's going to get made fun of on some jackass's fucking podcast. And somebody else did that with Hurricane, what was it called? Hurricane Overrated out there in Hurricane Irene. This fucking street flooded and like four or five guys, classic guy shit. This is some dumb shit that a woman would never do. You know, if a woman saw a street was filling up with water, she would think something like, oh, maybe I'll put some rain boots on and go up on the second floor of my house. That would be the smart thing to do. What do guys do? Dude, you know what would be funny? Hey, no, listen. Listen. You know what would be funny? You know that raft we got? What if we got that? We all piled in and went down the street. These fucking idiots grab the raft and they all get in it. And it capsizes. And you wouldn't think that that would be a big fucking deal. But somehow, I guess the water was going so rapidly. Two of them, I don't know. One of them got sucked all the way downstream, I don't know, through the middle of town. I don't know where he was, why he couldn't just hang onto a Dairy Queen sign or something, but he couldn't. Maybe that's what he was clinging to. You know, clinging to a fucking Taco Bell smokestack. I have no idea, but they had to spend like $9,000 to fucking rescue that guy. And another guy who fell in the water, he had a heart attack and died. Can you believe that shit? I was just thinking of this shit, that if that stuff is true, you know, about an afterlife.
Oh, Jesus.
Right? That you actually die and you get judged. All right? Let's just say, for the sake of argument, that that's what happened, okay? To appease all the people that believe in the bearded boy. All right? You fucking die a stupid death. Even if you make it into heaven, you have to still be embarrassed. Are you allowed to lie in heaven? Like when people ask you how you died, can you just make up that you did something heroic? Or just say, ah, I died in my sleep. You know? Or do you have to tell them? I guess it wouldn't matter because it would be heaven. No one's going to judge you. Right? Because everybody's so goddamn happy. Does that even fucking make sense to anybody? Does the concept of heaven even fucking make sense? You're just going to wake up and it's going to be awesome. And you're going to be, isn't this awesome? This is awesome. Right? This is awesome. 60 years later. Isn't this awesome? Yeah, it's still awesome. 10,000 years later. Isn't this awesome? Yes, it's fucking awesome. Stop asking me that question. For the love of God, somebody show me their tits. You know, that's what you want to do. The whole concept doesn't even make sense. Or hell. I don't understand hell. Like, you're okay, I'm the biggest asshole ever for 85 fucking years. Shouldn't I just be punished for 85? Maybe tack on another 15% because I was a douche, right? Round it off at an even 100. All right? Just fucking torture me for 100 years. And then don't I just pay for it at that point? It doesn't make any sense as far as the punishment and the reward makes no sense. Just put it in a Wall Street sense. That would be like you invested in one thing. You put a dollar into it and you made infinity money. You know? Or you lost infinity money. It just doesn't make any fucking sense to me. The math doesn't. I'm telling you guys, you go in the ground and that's it. So enjoy yourselves. Because there's nothing after this. But don't be sad because you're not going to be conscious or aware. You're just going to be like a dead. You ever see a dead squirrel? You know? The only reason why people believe in an afterlife is because when a person dies, they clean it up. They don't just leave you on the side of the fucking road. If you saw somebody just laying on the side of the road and you really looked at him, you're just like, that dude is just dead. That's it. And then watched him decompose and fucking go into the ground and all of a sudden you can plant some zucchini there, you know? Jesus Christ, this podcast is fucking weird. Well, I'm in a weird city. All right, let's get on with this shit here. This is the Monday Morning Podcast, and just to hype the podcast here, by the way, I am currently working, having somebody work on updating my website, a brand new website. I'm going to be buying the new iPhone or whatever the fuck it is, and I'm going to start taking videos on the run. I'm finally going to do this shit. This is no bullshit, okay? So just bear with the oil painting that my other website has become in that it hasn't changed in 4 years other than my dates. I'm going to start uploading video. I'm going to get much better at this shit, all right? We're going to incorporate the Monday Morning Podcast fan page, which is www.themmpodcast.com. Themmpodcast.com, not mmpodcast.com. Oh, no, sir. Oh, no, ma'am. Okay? It's www.themmpodcast.com, like The Ohio State University, okay? If you want to email me, if you want to send me questions, you want some advice, give me your overrated, underrated, tell me I'm a douche for making fun of that guy who died in the raft on fucking First Street and Elm, send it to Bill at themmpodcast.com. Bill at themmpodcast.com. Don't get mad at me for saying this 9 million times. People keep asking me, I can't find it. Also, we have the podcast Select available. 99 cents. You can listen to me interview Ephraim Salaam, talking football, talking groupies, talking who is, talking the cover two, talking whatever the fuck you wanted to ever hear. The Oh Jesus ringtone is available. And that's pretty much it. And t-shirts are coming. I'm finally doing this. Finally bringing it all around. I'm going to become web guy. I hope. I brought a video camera with me this weekend. I forgot my little tripod stand. I forgot to tell you. So this fucking audience member. This audience member. You know what? You want to know why? How I just remembered the audience member. If you want to get an idea how my brain works, I just realized that I forgot when I said tripod. I was, you know, those little mini tripod things. I was picturing setting up my video camera, and then I immediately imagined fucking somebody in my room, and then I thought about this girl this weekend who came by who had the most phenomenal titties I've seen on the road in a long time. Yeah, and then that took me to being in the bar, and this what this douche said. All right, so here it is. Oh, wait, what's going on? Serena's sitting down. Oh, she's yelling at this fucking lady. Is there anything better than that? 2-2 in the second set. Why am I telling you this shit like it hasn't already happened by the time you listen to this? I'll tell you, one of the greatest things you'll ever see is John McEnroe. His older highlights of him fucking screaming at people. Do you know, there's no video of this, but I heard one time, you know, the French Open was his big Achilles heel. He just couldn't win on clay. In 1 year, he had it won. And he blew it in the end. And to this point, you can hear it when he broadcasts. It still bugs him when he just goes to Roland Garros. And even he always brings it up. That's why he's the shit. He brings it up and actually admits how much it still bugs him. But I forget where I read this. But allegedly, one time he was in France playing on clay. And he just was having an awful game. And he was about ready to lose. And he was frustrated. And evidently, he yelled out during the match. He goes, "Ugh! I hate this country." I don't know why. Anyways, let's for the ninth time, let's tell this story. So I'm hanging at the bar, right? I'm drinking what the fuck was I drinking there? I was drinking cranberry and soda. All right. The girl with the phenomenal tits is showing how she can do that fucking Hulk Hogan thing. So everybody's watching. It's phenomenal. And then this guy goes, "Hey, Bill, come on. I want to talk to you for a second." So I'm like, "All right. Yeah, why don't I talk to you instead of watching this girl fucking move her D-cup titties as I drink a cranberry juice? Do you understand, sir? I'm not drinking anymore. You know, I don't fuck around. So this is my own little innocent thing that I can do to make it somewhat exciting to be here in Columbus at the mall." Anyways. So I walk over to this guy, you know, what, because I'm a nice guy? Because I'm generous? No, because I have a need to be liked. So I walk over and I start talking to this guy. And he starts asking me 9 million fucking questions about doing stand-up. Like, I'm on... I even said at one point, like, dude, what is this, Inside the Actor's Studio? And he goes, no, you know, I just want to ask you some questions. And I finally just said, dude, are you thinking about doing stand-up? And he said, yes. He's sitting there with his wife. So I say to the guy, I go, just write 5 minutes of shit you think is funny. Go on stage when they call your name. All right? You'll figure it out from there. There's no way... There's nothing more I can do. It's not like, I don't know, teaching somebody how to change the oil. It's like just something you have to just jump in the deep end and just hope you don't drown. It's just this. It's the most fucked up thing ever to try and learn how to do. Like, if you learn how to play guitar, you can take guitar lessons and you can get to a certain level of skill before you actually try to take it out at a party and play in front of other people. But stand up, you have to, the first time you do it, you have to do it on a stage while people watch you. It's unreal. So that's what I'm trying to explain to this guy. He's sitting there with his wife. He's telling me that he's a banker. And he actually said that a lot of shit that I say is hitting the nail right on the head. So I'm sitting there talking to this guy, and all of a sudden these two other ladies come over. All right? That was part of that other crew of people, the girl with the fucking titties that she was making moves. She goes, hey, we're leaving, Bill. Thanks for the show. I said, hey, thanks for coming out. See you next time we come here. And then he says, hey, Bill, how long you been with your girlfriend? Just out of the blue. And I just went, I don't know, 5-6 years? And then they just, it got all uncomfortable, and then they left. And I'm thinking, why the fuck did he ask me that? Right? And then he says to me, he goes, oh, sorry about bringing up your girlfriend. I just wanted those girls to leave because I wanted to keep talking to you. And his wife just looks down at the table like, Jesus Christ. And for some reason in my head, I was like, did he think I was fucking hitting on those girls? Why the fuck would he do that? And then I just realized, it wasn't until later, I just realized what a fucking manipulative dirtbag fucking move that guy was doing. And then I was thinking, thank God he's thinking about doing stand-up. Because the fact that he's a banker and is going to handle other people's money, I don't know if he's an investment guy, I don't know what. But that's like the kind of guy that will make old people eat Alpo and not even give a shit. You know, watch, he'll become a comedian, he'll probably end up stealing jokes. God damn it, I wish I could just teleport myself back to that moment in time and just tell him what an absolute fucking piece of shit move that was. You know, embarrassed him in front of his fucking wife and then left. Just a fucking... Oh, it was so fucking slimy. Yet effective. It did fucking work. Ah, Serena's back up 3-2. So anyways, let's get on with the podcast here for this week. Here we go. I asked for some wedding stories last week. It's funny when I said I don't want to hear about people being drunk and making asshole stories. We only got a couple. So here's one. All right. Hey, Bill, I just listened to your podcast and your horrible at the wedding story reminded me of my own moment at a wedding. So I'm in this wedding, right, as a groomsman. And we're at the reception. My friend married this horrible woman who is a total bitch that everyone hates, and she's ugly on top of it. She has Elvis Presley's sideburns and Jay Leno's chin. She's so fat, even her eyelids are chubby. It takes her 30 seconds to blink. Anyways, that's not the bad part. Jesus, can this guy paint a picture or what? Quick backstory. My friend has a younger brother, 27 years old, who served 3 years in prison for beating a man's brains in, almost killing him, then hitting a cop who was arresting him. God, he only got 3 years for that? I figured just hitting the cop alone, you get 3 years. Anyway, he serves his time and is released. Meanwhile, the older brother is working 80 hours a week between two jobs to support himself and his mother, who is a disabled widow. So after his release, younger asshole brother gets a job bouncing 3 nights a week at the Redneck Bar. They didn't look at his past record for assault, attempted murder, whatever the fuck he got sent away for. Anyways, bouncing 3 nights a week, it's a redneck bar. Oh, he goes, Tampa, go figure. So I guess they don't give a shit down there. And knocks up his drunken whore of a girlfriend two times. Both times, my friend, the older brother, pays for the abortion out of his own pocket because his felon brother can't afford it. Back to the wedding. So it's speech time, and the cuntess of a bride, you just invented a word, the cuntess of a bridesmaids of honor gives some shitty speech about an Indian tribe in New Mexico and explained how married couples drink out of a ceremonial jug that has a spout on each side of it. I think that's what it was. I was drinking and not paying attention to the sappy female shit because I'm 3 hours into all this marriage shit. Anyway, the best man, a.k.a. inmate 227, reluctantly steps onto the stage to give his speech. Oh, God, here we go. He takes the microphone and says, I didn't really prepare anything, but I love my brother, and I'm really happy for him. That was it. The whole speech was one sentence that he had a year to prepare for. Last month, my friend had his first child, a boy. Meanwhile, Rikers Island brother knocked up his slutty girlfriend with twin boys, which he's keeping because it's a miracle that he can't abort, even though he... Oh, Jesus Christ. Sorry, guys. I'm really fucking up the reading here. Meanwhile, Rikers Island brother knocked up his slutty girlfriend with twin boys, which he's keeping because it's a miracle that he can't abort, even though he can't afford to pay his rent. See, that's not my fault. That's the way he wrote that. It's a miracle. I don't give a fuck at this point. Let's just plow ahead, shall we? So his brother with the family pays it, along with his own mortgage, car payments, new baby, etc. To make matters worse, he's walking around like he deserves everyone's congratulations and bragging about how he's made something of himself. Now my friend is basically going to support himself, his wife, his son, his disabled mother, his brother, his unemployed future sister-in-law, and their twins, and he's 30 years old with two jobs. Where's the justice? I'll tell you, buddy. That's on your buddy. That's on your friend and his complete inability to say no. Go fuck yourself. You dug the hole. You're sitting in it. You crawl out of it. All right? He's actually enabled this guy to be a complete fucking asshole. These guys have, you guys, not you, but him and anybody else around him that is helping this fucking loser out, is you're feeding his sense that what he's doing is right because it keeps working out. You know what? I got this dude I was friends with from a long time ago, and we had a huge falling out because this fucking guy just wants to smoke weed every day and eat pizzas and fuck around. And then he just called. First of all, his phone calls were unbelievably draining. You know those people? They just don't get life, that every life is a fucking horse race. And these every day, it's a race. You know? And this fucking guy, every day it's a horse race. And the first thing he does at the beginning of the day is he shoots his own horse in the back of its fucking head. And then you know what he wants you to do? He wants you to slow down in your horse, come back and pick him up. Right? And when you don't do that, you know what he does? He tries to pull other people off their fucking horse. He's one of those guys. You know? Help me out. If you don't, I'm going to fucking take you down with me. He's one of those fucking guys. And then he has the nerve to get upset with me. Like I'm the asshole. Like I'm the one that tells him to fucking smoke weed every day. I didn't tell him to do that shit. Fuck this guy. This guy's a fucking loser, and your brother, your buddy should not be paying for his life. Because there won't be any justice. And your friend is going to work himself into an early grave, and it's going to be his own fault. All right? And I don't want to hear this horse shit that, you know, well, he loves his, you know, obviously you got to help out. This has really turned into an advice thing. Help out your disabled mother, obviously, but don't help out this loser. All right? Let him end up in that fucking trailer park he so deserves to be in. I mean, it's unfortunate for his kids. I don't know what to say about that. That's the injustice. The only injustice in this story are those two twins, that they had the bad spin of the wheel, that this dude's their dad and that slutty whore is their mom. All right? But this brother is, he's creating all of this shit. Support your wife and your own fucking family and support your mom. That's it. Everybody else can go fuck themselves. All right? There you go. All right, on to the next one. Dearest Billiam, my college roommate has been dating his fiance for 2 years. He's a really nice guy, so he tends to get walked all over. Jesus Christ. I have to read that again because there's so much. That right there is something that every guy needs to hear. He's a really nice guy, so he tends to get walked all over. I'm not saying you have to be a dick. All right, but you got to stick up for yourself. Okay, here we go. Even before they got engaged, I had heard rumors about his girlfriend being a bit of a whore. As his friend and her pretend friend, I attempt to give her the benefit of the doubt and ignore the accusations, as did my roommate, who had also heard the rumors. Unless she was drunk and got out of control and belittling him, we didn't mind her too much, aside for her trying too hard to be one of the guys. Okay. Recently, now this one I'm fucking up reading because he's naming all names. Recently, Ebenezer called to me and said that Tabitha had kissed a guy at a bar. Recently the fucking potential groom called up to say that his fiance, Hua, had kissed a guy at a bar and that they were postponing their wedding and starting fresh. I was depressed to hear that he wasn't dumping this bitch, but whatever, not my choice. At least he knew about it. So after starting fresh for what seemed to be the fifth time, it appeared that they were working it out. Of course, this is when things go completely off the rails with one phone call. Another friend, who knew nothing about the cheating kiss that happened a few weeks ago, tells me that a friend of his from college was told by his whore fiance that she would break off the engagement if he gave her a chance just fucking yesterday. What? Well, why can't she just open up her mouth and break it off? Anyways, the source seems reliable, but it's still just hearsay. All of his friends now know, but somehow the potential groom doesn't. There is no easy way to bring this up to him, so I'm up to hear any advice. Thanks for the podcast and the podcast select. Hope you see you perform again soon. Oh, fuck. All right, you got to make a call here. You gotta decide whether or not you're prepared to put your friendship on the table, because why don't you want to tell him this shit? Basically, because you're worried that he's not going to believe you. He's going to flip the fuck out, and then he's going to go ahead and marry this whore anyways, and the two of you aren't going to be friends. I got to tell you this, dude. It's going to make you sick to your fucking stomach to watch this guy go through this shit. Let's say you keep your mouth shut, you stay friends with him. Then you're going to sit there and you're going to watch this girl fuck around on him. You know? I don't know why guys choose to do this. Women don't. If women see a dude fucking around, they go right to their girlfriend. Oh my God. Oh my God. He fucking, I saw him, blah, 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 blah. And they hug and they say, I'm sorry, I'll be there for you. You can do better. And they try and fucking, for some reason, guys, we can't do that. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's because it's an ego thing. You can't handle that your girl's been fucking around. But, dude, you got to tell this guy. You got to tell this guy, fuck this girl. Don't let another fucking whore go out there and take some guy for all he's worth, because this bitch is going to get knocked up and this guy's going to be into her for 18 fucking years financially. Okay? And just like that other guy said, where is the goddamn justice? All right? What you need, sir, is a clear conscience. You have to say something. All right? And just tell him. Just tell him. Say, look, you're going to hate me for telling you this, but as a friend, I have to tell you this. I can't sit back and hold on to this information. I got to tell you, and I support whatever decision you want to make. And all you got to do is just tell him the facts without calling his fiance a whore. Don't say that. Just say what you know, and then that's it. And tell him, dude, I really think you need to dump this girl. You can do way better. And that's it. If he gets fucking mad at you, he gets mad at you. And if he cuts you out, he cuts you out. But you will not have, you won't have a guilty conscience. It won't be weighing on you. I'm telling you. And I don't know. Some other people say, you know, mind your own fucking business when it comes to this stuff. I don't. You get in there and tell them. If one of your buddies is going to marry a whore, you got to tell them. You got to tell them. I saw that happen to a guy I know. I saw it. Saw it fucking happen. It was fucking it was horrible. It was horrible, and I was younger, and I didn't fucking say anything, and then the whole fucking thing unraveled about 15 years later. It was just awful. Fucking wasted a decade and a half of his goddamn life. Looking back, should have said something, but did not. Did not. So, I'm telling you to do what I didn't do. So, if you don't, I can't judge you because I didn't do it either. Oh, Jesus. All right, here we go. Here's the next one. So, Bill, here's why I'm writing in. I'm a 17-year-old, half black, half white gamer who gets shat on by life a lot. And I thought all that would change because of a girl that came into my life. Oh, there's a big mistake. Dude, you can't think that other people are going to fix you. You got to fix yourself. You got to be happy with yourself. All right, plowing ahead. On July 4th, I met this girl at a comic book store in my area. Yes, I'm a nerd. Same with her. Ah, for fuck's sake. This is fucking Keith Robinson with his stupid fucking ideas about football. You know, this fucking asshole tried to tell me because the Texans beat the goddamn Colts 34-0. That just shows you how great a quarterback Peyton Manning is. I absolutely fucking give up with 90% of these stat-watching fantasy football fan jackasses. I've had it. I fucking had it. I can't believe how people break down games. You know what I mean? They just, they never look below the surface. It's like, what are you watching? You know? What are you watching? Evidently, everybody watches game 1 through 16, and game 17, 18, 19, and 20, nobody pays attention to, basically the playoffs. I don't get it. I just don't. Fucking get it. He tried to say that he was better than Tom Brady. Physically better. He's got a stronger arm. Can read defenses, all that type of shit. He's better at all of that shit. But when the pressure is on, when it fucking counts, when it fucking counts, you want fucking ice water in the veins. Tom Brady has ice water. Peyton Manning has iced tea. I don't know what the fuck I'm saying. Is iced tea even fucking, that's also cold, isn't it? It's probably just as cold as ice water. It's probably got the same amount of ice cubes in it, Bill. I don't know what I'm saying. I'm just saying, what the fuck? Tom Brady does not lose to the 8-8 Chargers at home and the 9-7 Chargers at fucking home. He doesn't throw a pick six to lose the fucking Super Bowl. I am so goddamn sick of people talking about game 1 through game 16. I've said it for fucking years. If you want 500 yards and 4 touchdowns against the Buccaneers in November, Peyton Manning is your guy all day long. He's the greatest fucking quarterback ever in that situation. The playoffs, not so much. And it's not like he hasn't had great coaching, great fucking people around him, okay? I've had it. You know, he tried to say, hey, he can, you know, and all those people who look at like fucking Matt Castle. I love that because he went 11-5 that year, not realizing the Patriots went 16-0 in the regular season the year before. He took over a 16-0 team and won 5 fewer fucking games. All right? He was a game manager. Whatever you do, Matt, don't throw an interception. We'll handle the rest. And all these fucking idiots were watching him driving a goddamn Ferrari that was the New England Patriots that year, and they're all impressed with the guy. And he gets that huge contract, goes to Kansas City, and what's he doing out there? What's he doing out there in Kansas City now that he's fucking driving a fucking Monte Carlo? What's he doing? What happened today? They lost to the fucking Bills 41-7? Unfucking believable. I give up. I officially fucking give up. I am not having these arguments anymore this year. All right? If you guys, this is, okay, agree to disagree. If you want 5,000 yards in the regular season and then to lose in the first round or the second round, even though you have the game won, then that's your guy. That is your fucking guy. All right? God bless you. God bless you. Plowing ahead. Where the fuck am I here? Oh, the gamer here. So anyways, on July 4th, I met this girl at a comic book store in my area. Yes, I'm a nerd. Same with her. It's good. You're compatible right off the bat. I like this. We talked and she gave me her digits. I called her that night. Yeah, I know. Big fucking mistake. I don't know. I don't agree with that. It's not a big fucking mistake. You can call her that night. To call her up and be like, do you still like me? That would be a big fucking mistake. But you call up and you're cool. You know? I don't think that there would be a problem. Plus, at this point, everybody knows you're supposed to wait the day. So, I don't give a fuck. So, anyways, I call her the first night. No answer. She called me a few days later from her landline number, left me a message. Didn't hear from her for a few weeks after that. She texted me one morning, and we started going at it back and forth from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. every day. What, texting or talking on the phone? I don't know what that means. She told me she had a little crush on me from when we met and how it grew into her wanting to date me. So this is all going good so far, everybody. Around the end of July, she didn't respond to any of my texts. Oh, Jesus. I called her landline, and her stepdad told me that they were going through some times and that she'll respond to me soon. Ah! Jesus Christ. She deferred to her dad, sent him out to the podium like Brian Cashman. All right. Soon turned out to be the beginning of September. So all of August has gone by. All right. We start texting back and forth again from 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. because of her school. Then from 2:30 to 8:30 p.m. She told me she loved me. And I did the same. Now, wait a minute. All you guys have done is text? And you fell in love that way? Oh, you wacky kids this day and age. Okay. She had a party on Friday after school started and invited me to it. I saw her, and Bill, she was beautiful. Nice body, but a great personality. That's hilarious. She had a nice body and a great personality. Can you believe it? I met a few of her friends, and they all enjoyed me, especially this guy that's like, quote-unquote, her older brother. Ah, fuck. Oh, God. Jeez, where's this going? At the party, her parents kept glaring at me nonstop, and her stepdad kept giving me a mean look. I pulled her off to the side to give her a present, and she smiled and gave me a hug after she opened it. Not a moment later, her parents stomped through the house to find us and start yelling at us to get back to the party. They pull her to the side and talk with her. I leave the party and she gave me a long hug and had a smile on her face the whole time. Her stepdad spoke with my dad. My dad's white and her family is all white. Her stepdad kept offering my dad to stay and drink a beer or three, then said he'd give him a few for the road or put him in a non-see-through bottle. My dad refused and kept thinking it was fucked up to keep pressuring someone about a beer after they said no twice. Yeah, this is getting a little weird here. Next day, at work, she texted me and said that she had bad news for me. The news was that her parents didn't want to date me because they just didn't like me and thought she made a bad decision, which I took as he's black, so no. I was hurt by this. She kept saying sorry. I kept telling her it wasn't her fault. Just her parents are fucked up. I kept saying, why couldn't they tell me last night to her? And I went semi-bipolar, cursing out her parents via text one moment and then saying, I didn't mean all of that. Oh, God. Anyways, I just found out her parents don't want me talking to her at all, and they blocked my number from her phone. Bill, I'm asking for your help here because I haven't felt this way about a girl in a while, and I want to fight for her. I just don't know how. Could you, and if Nia's available, help me out with some advice for trying to win her over, her parents and showing them I'm not some random black guy. I'll treat their daughter right, and I'll definitely try not to hurt her. Dude, you know what? Fuck her parents. Who gives a shit? Who gives a fuck what their parents think? I would just completely, if I was you, ignore her parents and ignore their wishes. And still be the funny, cool guy that you are that she likes. You know? And eventually, she's got to deal with her parents. But this is what I wouldn't get any more of. This is a tricky one. because I wouldn't get any more emotionally involved with this girl. Because if you start falling for this girl and then again her parents rip the rug out and she says, go fuck yourself, I can't, then you're going to end up getting hurt. God, how do you do this one? All right, dude, you're gonna have to take your heart and put it on the table here and know that it could get fucking squashed like a goddamn squirrel on the side of the road. All right, if... Oh, Jesus. My gut is saying... This is hard because you like this girl. But totally emotionless, this girl just chose her parents, her relationship with her parents over you right out of the fucking gate. You don't need that shit, okay? You want somebody who's strong enough to date who they want to date and keep their parents in check. Not disrespect of them. Don't disrespect them, but understand that it's their life they got to lead. All right? I don't know how old this girl is, by the way, but she's in her 20s. It's time for her to make a break. All right? So the fact that she didn't do that is a major red flag. And you sound like a young dude. There's going to be other girls out there. You know what? That's my advice. Fuck her. Okay? There's going to be other girls. Just get out there, all right, and find some girl that's going to like you and can introduce you to their parents, and her parents are cool with you. That's a good way to start off. Because this girl, what if you end up marrying this girl? Do you think her parents are ever really going to come around as they tried to basically talk your dad into a fucking DUI? These people are out of their minds. It's a psycho fucking family. All right? And that psycho gene is in that woman. And you're going to breed with it, and half your kid is going to be a little fucking crazy. And one night, you're going to be sleeping, and you're going to, for some reason, that caveman, your endangered sixth sense is going to kick in. You're going to open your eyes, and he's going to be standing over you with a kitchen knife. All right? Yeah. Fuck this girl. Fuck her fucking family. All right? You're a nerd. You're into comics books. You're probably smart. You probably invent the next greatest computer or car. You're gonna make money in life, which means you're going to have plenty of fucking options. So fuck this girl. All right? That's it. Actually, you being half black ended up being a good thing. It was a way for you to figure out how weak this girl is around her own goddamn parents. Because I'm telling you, if it wasn't this, it would be something else. For someone to be micromanaging their daughter's dating life to that fucking level, I'm telling you, that is just the tip of the goddamn iceberg, just like Bronx Tale. That was like lock the door test, and she failed it. So fuck her. Go find somebody else. All right? Or you can go after her. The fact that you said you had feelings for it's a tough fucking thing. I'm just letting you know what you're walking into. All right? Because, That's never going to change. They're not going to accept you. And then, dude, fuck sitting there like you got to try and win them over. They got to win you over at this point. Show you that they're decent people after acting like absolute assholes. You know? Which, I mean, what the fuck just happened? Did Serena already win? They're already interviewing her. Wait, they're both smiling. She must have lost. Anyways, all right, let's get to overrated, underrated for the week. Overrated, seeing a band you love before they get big and fucking sell out and change their sound. Yeah, that's a good thing, but that's a tough thing for a band to do, man. You got to change your sound. You do have to evolve, or if you don't, people go, you just keep putting out the same album over and over again. Which, here's a question I have for you guys. Who do you think the biggest sellout, what band hurt you the most? You know, there's going to be a lot of Metallica fans when they went from Injustice for All, and then they went to Enter Sandman, then they did that Bob Seger cover. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of Metallica fans out there. Maybe even a couple of Bryan Adams fans. Remember how that guy came out of the gate? You know, it was pop shit, but, you know, it had little balls to it. Sang that song about fucking around. Something, something, and it's something, something, and we'll never something. I fucking fingered you as my girl was in the other room. Well, but love was cold, right? That was a good song. He went from that, talking about fucking around, talking about getting some pussy in 1969, and that was the best days of his life. He had his little fucking jean jacket on, right? Playing guitar in a barn. He was a badass, sort of, in a pop way. And then what happens? I know, Serena did win. They gave her the little plate. Thank you. Thank you for the plate that I'll always look at and remember that I did not win the 2011 U.S. Open. Thanks for making it shiny and kind of like a mirror so I can see the disappointment that I already knew that I was feeling because I'm connected to my emotions. And then where did he go from that? All of a sudden, 4 years later, everything you do, I do it for you. Just some pussy-whipped fucking fag. Right? So he lost all me. Guys like me who was fans of his. And then he lost the chicks. And I don't know what he did. Last time I saw him, he had his hair spiked up and he was wearing eyeliner. And that was the last I ever saw that guy. Trying to think who sold out the most. That's a good question. I'll have to think about that. Next week, I'll have an answer for you. All right? I'll tell you who kept it real the fucking longest. AC/DC. They've been singing about pussy, balls, and the devil for fucking 35 years. If you don't like it, they don't give a fuck. Because if they can give you another 35 years of it, that's exactly what they're going to do. Yeah, so let me know. Let me know what band broke your heart the most. I bet a lot of U2 fans are going to be bitching about that. I don't know. All right, let's plow ahead here. Underrated. Joe DeRosa. Joe DeRosa's new comedy album. The Return of the Son of the Depression Auction. Somebody wrote best comedy album since his last comedy album. Joe DeRosa. The teen idol sensation from the Opie and Anthony program. The co-host of the once-a-year uninformed radio program, Joe DeRosa. I have heard nothing but phenomenal reviews of his new CD. So why don't you guys be a pal this week? Why don't you guys go on iTunes and download my good friend Joe DeRosa's The Return of the Son of the Depression Auction and have a listen. All right, here we go. Oh, yeah, the other girl won because she got the vase. There you go. Does this make me a pussy that I actually think the women's trophy for Wimbledon is better than the men's? I don't know if it's because I like silver better. It's a giant plate. I just think that's better than just having that little gold spittoon. It's just not impressive. You know what's fucking impressive? I like the golf trophies that you win. They're like as big as the Stanley Cup. You ever see like Tiger Woods' like fucking trophy case? They're incredible. Look at that little-ass vase. That looks like they just fucking cremated your grandmother. And you got the fucking VIP cremating vase. Cremated vase. The I really, really loved my grandmother vase. I don't know. I like the plates better. You can write a bunch of shit on them. Anyways, let's plow ahead here. Overrated, underrated. Where the hell am I? Underrated, being the Costco receipt checker person. How awesome of a job is that guy? Does that guy have? The guy looks at a cart, then looks at a receipt, goes, stuff, 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 you can go. Is he really looking at anything? I want that job. I know, right? Do they ever look? It almost makes you want to fucking try and steal something. They never do that. The amount of times I've handed, like, you know what, an experiment? Like, to hand the receipt to him upside down. And see if they still fucking check it off. All right, overrated. Keeping the peace. Specifically, this really just means you're being a pussy or chickening out because you don't have the heart or the balls to follow through on something that you have on your mind. Which leads me to an underrated. Confrontation or grown man moves. Recently, I was on a plane and the announcement had just been made. To put all electrical equipment, etc. away. As usual, there was the one guy who continues to talk on his cell phone or sends emails or something. Now, I know it's not vitally important, but this always bothers me. But I have never said anything about it. Lo and behold, this time an older gentleman beside me reaches across the aisle to call the attention of a douchebag and says to him, "Excuse me, sir, you are supposed to put that away." Now, you might think this is none of the old guy's business, but this is how you know he was right. The douchebag basically had a minor hissy fit, packing up his cell phone unnecessarily loudly, and then holds it up to the guy and says, "Are you happy now? Grown man one, hissy fit douchebag zero." Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I agree with that. Overrated. Turning a fucking screwdriver. I just replaced the stereo and all six speakers in my car all by myself. I had to take apart the entire dashboard and remove the door panels to get everything. Modifications had to be made and wires rerouted. And God damn it, I did it all myself and all by hand with old-fashioned hand tools. No power tools, no professional installation. It took almost 12 hours, but that beer and that cigarette I clutched in my greasy hands at the end of the day never fucking tasted better. That is a great feeling. You know, I'm about ready to pull a trigger on fucking buying an old Mustang, and I was actually on YouTube learning how to fucking change brake pads, the fucking caliper, whatever the hell you call it, the rotors and all that type of shit, and how to bleed the brake lines and all of that. I've already imagined the fight I'm going to have with Nia when she lets up off on the brake and lets air into the lines. "Well, I didn't know how to do it. I went all the way to the floor. I thought I was supposed to stop. Don't yell at me. Don't yell at me." Underrated. The History Channel show, How the Earth Was Made. It's on Netflix right now, you know. I got to check that out. Overrated, The Book of Genesis. Oh, Jesus. Okay, videos. We got some great YouTube videos this week. Here we go. Weirdest drum kit ever. This guy, I can't really explain what he's doing. He's basically sitting on a giant keg with a saddle. And he bounces up and down. It's you know, there's no foot pedal action on it. I don't know what it is. Golf coach pep talk press conference is one of the greatest videos I've ever seen in my life. Worst music video of all time. You just have to look at this fucking guy's face. I don't want to describe these videos because I'm going to ruin them for you. These are all funny. Now, wait a minute. I know we had a bunch of other ones. Ah, fuck me. Did I copy and paste it to the wrong thing? Ah, fuck. Why do I do this to myself? All right, hour and 7 minutes in. Hang on a second. Can you guys hang with me for a second? My next big gig, I'm going to be at the Wiltern Theater on September 23rd and 24th in Boston, Massachusetts. All shows are almost sold out. So if you want tickets, please, for the love of God, get them now. Or forever hold your peace. Where the fuck are these other YouTube videos? Wait a minute. Here we go. Hang in there. Don't hang up. Where the fuck are they? Oh, here we go. Here we go. Dogs welcome home soldiers. This is something I've been watching. You got to see this one that we have. This soldier comes back from Iraq. His dog hasn't seen him, obviously, throughout his whole tour. His two dogs. And the dogs come in, and he comes walking in. These dogs lose their mind. And my favorite is one of them, after he's done jumping up and down, the other one's still jumping on him. The other one is just sort of walking around randomly near the soldier, not even looking at him, just going like, "Boo, boo, boo." It was almost like he was like going, "Dude, I called it. I said it. I told you he was coming back." It's fucking hilarious. Fan catches a baseball 454 times in a row. He's going to 454 games in a row. This guy's caught a ball every single time. This is an amazing feat, and it seems like this guy really is in need of some pussy. Adults taunt Little Leaguer. I didn't even need to get into that. That's also fucking hilarious. Transvestite knocks out two dudes. This is one of my favorite ones. This guy just looking for a fight, you know, walking around with no shirt on like Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers, except he's a bully. He's not cool. And he doesn't realize that I don't know what the fuck this transvestite did. Boxing, MMA, I don't know what, but this fucking guy just knocks this dude out. It's phenomenal. And I think I found the theme song for the Monday morning podcast by Rubble Bucket. The name of this song is "Came Out of a Lady." It's a fucking horrible song, but you just have to watch it until she starts singing like that. Changing tires while driving. You got to check that one out. It's some of the best driving I've ever seen. This fucking person's driving on two wheels. Cop preaches Jesus. Cop loses his shit. I think that's about it. That's the podcast for this week. Went a little bit long. That is all, everybody. I hope you guys have a good week. And please, by all means, continue to hit the donation button on the podcast and downloading the MM Podcast Select. I am lining up a police officer, for a former police officer, for the next Monday Morning Podcast Select. And I am open to hearing about any crazy guests that you know who have crazy jobs or just something interesting. But here's the thing. They have to be good storytellers. Please don't bring me any duds, because I swear to God, I am charging 99 cents for this and I'm not fucking over my listeners. So if I record one and it sucks, it's never going to see the light of day. All right? That's it. That's the podcast for this week. Everybody, have a great week. Go fuck yourselves. Don't take any shit. And also, I will be at the Improv in Irvine on September 7th, 8th, and 9th. It's all up on billburr.com. That's it. You guys have a good week. I'll talk to you later.